You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm not sure of our position on that particular bill, so I can't comment on that right now.
It's a kind of bird. This is the bird they're endorsing for Bird of the Year.
The Wire.
Following severe flooding in Wellington, concerns are growing over the discharge of untreated sewage into coastal waters and what that could mean for the marine ecosystems. Experts say the impacts could extend beyond immediate pollution, affecting habitats and species over time. I spoke with Dr. Christopher Cornwall, Senior Lecturer in Marine Biology at Victoria University of Auckland, about the environmental risks. Following the recent flooding in Wellington, we've seen ongoing discharge of untreated sewage into coastal waters. At a broad level, how serious is that from an environmental perspective?
The ongoing sewage spill is concerning even without the short pipe. With the long pipe, it still has untreated sewage coming out of it continuously, just further from the coast. Both of those pipes go very close, if not onto Rocky Reef ecosystems. So we have kelp forests there that provide food and habitat for things like parwa, finfish, etc. We know from overseas work and also some work done here in Wellington, it's not published yet, that when we have sewage spills like that, where dumping of sewage, then it can degrade those kelp forest systems. The extent to which is determined by the volume of sewage and how long that outflow is going to continue to occur without treatment of the sewage.
And you've mentioned that this kind of discharge can seriously impact marine ecosystems like kelp forests. What does that actually look like in practice?
So it can range from anything from what I would classify as subtle effects into larger, really obvious effects. So I'll go through both potential scenarios. So around Tarakina Bay, which is where sewage is coming directly out in the short pipe, what you'd expect there is there'll be larger impacts. And so the smaller impacts for the entire coastline, if we put untreated sewage out there, can be things like increased anthropogenic nitrogen, so nitrogen derived from that sewage. That can be used by different species of seaweeds and also microalgae that we might not want in the system, so it can shift the balance in that ecosystem. What we're looking at there, there's probably only small changes in things like green tide forming ulva. So before the plant was upgraded back in the 90s, the Moa Point area was well known for having lots of this ulva. And we know from overseas work that when we increase nitrogen, we can increase the ulva numbers. That might only be 5-10% across the whole coast and more around the Tarakina Bay and Moa Point area. But it could also locally form big blooms, and it has done that overseas, grows over everything. That's a more extreme event. What we could also see locally, particularly in Tarakina Bay, would be smothering of organisms. So think about invertebrates that essentially need to breathe, for want of a better word, underwater. We smother their gills, they can't breathe. Think about the seaweeds, we smother the seaweeds, they can no longer photosynthesize. So we're looking at mortality events. How much has occurred already? Unsure. Certainly the wider area around the south coast hasn't had these big mortality events, but it's possible that around Tarakina Bay, particularly right where the sewage is coming out, there can be mortality of things like juvenile kelp, parwa, quite sensitive as well, anything that filter feeds. And other effects that are definitely going to happen would be changes and microbes. And so this could be ranging from very small changes in microbes, like increased human-derived bacteria, which Lawa has picked up on in their readings, through to changes in what we call the microbiome of the organism. So think about yourself. Inside your gut, you have your gut microbiome that everyone knows about, and we know that we need to keep a healthy gut microbiome to stay healthy. The same for seaweeds in terms of the microbiome and their blades. Same for the internal microbiome and sponges, etc. So we change the microbiome, it has negative impacts and can also can stunt their growth and basically stress out these marine organisms. That's mostly what we would expect to see. We would expect to see local seaweeds taking up much more of this sewage-derived nitrogen. Things like reduced oxygen can also impact marine invertebrates and fish species. So that's what we would expect locally.
Yep, so you've mentioned things like nitrogen, microplastics, other contaminants like that entering the water. What effect do those have on marine life?
Yeah, actually, microplastics are an interesting one. So at the moment, I understand that they're not filtered out. So we're getting plastics into that water, other contaminants into the water that wouldn't usually go in there. Microplastics, for example, can go into organisms like sponges, filter feeders, and really start to alter their physiology, have release compounds, etc., that can stress them out, basically. We're thinking about bigger plastics, they can have impacts on species that eat larger particles as well, and essentially have effects where they can fill up things like, we know that in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, for example, the amount of plastics out in the water there fills up seabirds. I'm not saying that's going to happen here in Wellington, but these are like more extreme events that could happen if there's too much plastic in the system. But in terms of microplastics, that's the most likely thing that's happening. It's difficult to measure. No one's really measured the microplastic levels in organisms around the coast beforehand, or at least in a systematic, quantitative way. So we would expect there would be increases around that Arakina Bay region there.
Is there a risk that this starts affecting food sources or local fisheries?
I certainly wouldn't be eating any of the kai species, and certainly would be thinking for a long time after this is fixed, which hopefully occurs very soon, that I wouldn't be eating it for a long time afterwards. So certainly there will be impacts on human health if we eat, particularly things like filter feeders that essentially could eat the sewage. So we don't really want to be doing that. We know that, I'm not an expert on human health, but we know that if we eat polluted organisms that it can have negative impacts on our health.
More broadly, does this event highlight bigger issues around how our infrastructure is set up to handle heavy rainfall?
I think it highlights the fact that things haven't been managed properly. A member of the public emailed me saying that they've identified 5,000 instances of what they classified as illegal dumping occurring, and I'm not sure whether the numbers are correct. I'd have to look into that, but certainly there hasn't been great management of our waterways. I think collectively we need to think about managing systems on a reef by reef scale. We also know that there's sewage outflows into things like the Karori Stream. There's issues with, for example, the amount of sediments coming out of the Hutt River. During the flooding event, I would say the Hutt River would have a very large impact, probably more so than the sewage outflow on that south coast. So a big ground line coming out of the Hutt River, coming out into the harbour, and then therefore onto the south coast. So these kind of events, it's unknown how much sediment will be coming out of that Hutt River pre-European times, but we've certainly impacted these systems, and we're not really thinking about it. We don't have a connected system to manage reefs at a reef-by-reef scale, and certainly setting up sewage outflows to go out onto temperate kelp forests that are sensitive to sewage is not a great management strategy, in my opinion.
And finally, what should people be paying attention to over the next few weeks or months as the situation develops?
I would just be real hesitant about collecting those kai species, like you said. I would hope that someone in the medical profession could speak more on this and in more detail. I currently haven't seen any media coverage from a human health expert on the South Coast spill in terms of what activities we can and cannot do. And I believe that we need greater monitoring of these types of events across Aotearoa. We need greater management. What can people do? They can keep an eye out and pressure for this to be fixed. They can also vote for policies that enact greater management of better management of our marine systems in general. Those are the things that I would be thinking that people could do on an individual level.
That was Dr. Christopher Cornwall about the environmental impacts of the sewage discharge following flooding in Wellington.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.